find God's Word and open to the book of Philippians chapter 4, if you don't mind. Been fighting with some, now I'm fighting with a sinus infection, but I've been fighting with illness, and I've been fighting with anxiety, and I've been fighting with fear for some time now, a little over a month. And I'm not talking fear as in mild worry about what's wrong with you. I'm talking fear as in not walking outside, not going places with people, not walking out of my room. I haven't worked my job for a month. I work out of the house. Intense fear. Fear, overwhelming fear of death. I don't want to walk fast because I'm afraid my heart rate will go up and that'll mess something up in my brain and maybe I'll have a stroke and paralyze myself. Stupid things. Things that aren't even there. That you constantly think of in your mind that's constantly bothering you. And that's what I've been focusing on. It's been overwhelming me. It has absolutely been overwhelming me. It's been killing me slowly. And I've been letting it do it to myself. And if I can find Philippians, daggone it. Found a passage here in Philippians. I want to turn your attention to it. We're going to talk about it for a little bit. And I'm going to tell you about me at the very end of the sermon. I'm going to give you my testimony of the things that happened. And I pray that it'll help you. I pray that God has given me this trial. It has helped me. I'm so thankful that it has happened to me, even though I haven't been while I was going through it. I'm so thankful that I've got to enjoy this now and that I've learned from it now. And I'm so thankful that now I can share it with you so that maybe if someone's out there having the same problem anywhere, that they can hear what happened to me, hear how I strengthen myself, and maybe they can strengthen themselves, and maybe we can glorify God in the process. So Philippians chapter 4, very first passage. I'll read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, and then we'll pray, and then we'll start to exposit God's Word. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And then down in verse 6, says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, we're to rejoice in the Lord always, and that's something that we don't always do. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Greek word always means all the time, nonstop rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And there's a special key there. Rejoice always, rejoice. Right in the middle of that, you'll see rejoice in the Lord. One of the things that are constant, I thought I was wearing my glasses. I put my contacts in this morning. You see me grabbing for it? One of the things that is constantly changing is our emotions and our feelings and our health and our mood and our attitudes and the weather, the people around us. Everything is constantly changing. Everything is moving. The people around me are in different moods every day. Some Sunday mornings, my family's in a fantastic mood. Everybody's getting ready. Everybody's getting ready for church. And we come out of the door and we come down to church. And everything's great. Some mornings, I open the door and I see Dad throwing something across the room. Dad's lost a belt or something. Or Mom's trying to get her hair to part and this side's flat. And she can't get ready and someone's aggravated. The mood has changed. With me, December, Christmas, I traveled into Pennsylvania for a week alone on business. I've moved more trouble calls at my job. I put more miles on my car. I probably put 9,000 miles on that car in 2 months, just traveling everywhere I could possibly go. I felt like $1 million, making money, working my job. Life was perfect. Nothing could get any better. And then all of a sudden, my health took a dive. And then I couldn't do anything. And it was a whole lot harder to rejoice. It was a whole lot harder to rejoice. There is always one constant thing, though. There is something that has never changed. I could lose everything. You can remember the story of Job. Job lost his stuff, his possessions, his house, his cattle, his everything that he owned, his physical possessions. He lost his family. Satan slowly hid everything. Satan hid his health, but he never lost God. Amen. And that's where your key is here. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Otherwise, you can't rejoice always. I can't rejoice in my bad health unless I'm rejoicing in the fact that the Lord is allowing me to go through my bad health for a good reason. I can't rejoice in the loss of a job unless I know that the Lord is allowing me to lose my job and that I can count it all joy, as James 1 says, and that the Lord would never let it happen unless it first went through His sovereign fingers and fell to me.
Amen.
There's nothing that can happen to me unless God first allows it. And that way we can rejoice in the Lord always. That's where the "in the Lord" comes in. And again, I say rejoice. The book of Philippians was written while Paul was in prison, no doubt in a very nasty prison. Some people go through these big, deep, dramatic descriptions of the things that he could have been setting in when he wrote this, how awful the environment would be. And he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice, because the Lord was his constant. Didn't matter what happened to him on the outside. You can see an example of him in Acts 16. He moved into the area of Philippi. He goes into a lady's house called Lydia. She sold purple things. And in the town, casts out a demon. And eventually was whipped, publicly beaten, and thrown into jail for it. Was in prison. All the circumstances looked bad. Was jailed for the gospel. And the passage in Acts 16, I believe it's around verse 20, I can't remember exactly, says that Paul and Silas were in prison singing praises to God. God was their constant. God had never moved. God had never changed. God had allowed those things to happen. And they were thankful for them. And they were praising God as a result. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then the verse that has gotten me through life. I believe this verse has kept me alive because I felt like I was dying the past month. Verse 6. And we're not going to finish it. We're going to finish it at the end of the message. The King James reads, "Be careful for nothing." The Greek reads, "Do not be anxious about anything." That Greek word is the word that we get anxiety from. Have you ever heard of an anxiety attack? You get so tore up and you get so stressed out that you just break down. You go nuts, so to speak. Your heart goes a million miles an hour. You can't take the stress anymore. You rip your hair out and you feel like you're going crazy. It's an anxiety attack. It's stress. It's destruction in your mind. You go crazy, literally. It's not a thing where you're having a bad day and you come home and you say, "I think I'm going nuts." You're going nuts. You think that you are dying. Now, I think the Lord knew what he was talking about when he said, "Don't be anxious about anything," because he knew exactly what it would do to someone. Anxiety isn't the most commonly used term. It's like fornication isn't the most commonly used term when we talk about sexual sin. We normally say it's a fling or an affair. Fornication is the bubble that encompasses all sexual sin. Anxiety encompasses worry, being burdened, being overwhelmed with care, being troubled, concerned, doubting, mistrusting, being nervous, panicking, being afraid. All of those things go into anxiety. If you're stressed out at your job and someone is aggravating you, that classifies as anxiety. I was making fun of Dad the other day because he's worried about his carpet smelling like dog. Because we just got a new dog. And obsessive compulsive disorder, where you're so worried about things, which he doesn't have that, I was just teasing him. Obsessive compulsive disorder, where you're so worried about everything being perfect, is a form of anxiety. If you remember, there was an old show that your kids probably watched, because I watched it, called Double Dare. And this guy used to slam everybody that was on the show. There was a special on TV where he was taking a comb and he was actually straightening all the, I think they're called tassels, on the end of his rug to make sure they were all straight. Obsessive compulsive disorder. It drove him crazy. It's a form of anxiety. One of the things that scares me is vertigo. I had vertigo behind the wheel of a car. And ever since then, now I'm afraid to drive. And it is anxiety for me to get in a car now. I am terrified. That used to be my favorite thing in the world to do. I couldn't wait to get my driver's license. And now it is a form of anxiety for me to get into a car. Going on a first date with someone, that is anxiety. The nervousness. What are you going to talk about? What are you going to do? What if they don't like me? Preaching. The nervousness before the sermon is anxiety. It is worry. It is concern. It is trouble. All of those things play in to an anxiety game that we all play. Every single one of us has played it at some point in time in our lives. And I've been going through it very extreme. Now, anxiety can cause health problems, which it has me. Anxiety has been proven to cause high blood pressure, which it has me. Anxiety has been proven to cause heart palpitations, which is your heart racing. I'll just be sitting there. I'll get scared. Your heart goes a million miles an hour, raises your blood pressure up, turns you red, causes you to break out into sweats. And you know where it all comes from? It comes from fear and anxiety in your mind. Your body is reacting just like it would if you are in the woods and you see a bear. And you see a bear and you panic and your body prepares itself to run like the wind. And your body's reacting the exact same way over something that you're afraid of that doesn't really exist. I was so afraid of passing out again that I would constantly think about it while I was driving. And I would think about it so much that I would cause it, even though it never really happened. Even though the vertigo hasn't really happened again the same way as it did the first time. I was so scared that it would happen again that I constantly thought about it and would cause an anxiety or a panic attack. They're synonyms. It also causes migraine headaches. I'm going through that right now, and I would not be surprised if my anxiety has not caused that as well. And if I haven't caused everything that's happened to me in the past month just because of one bout with vertigo and the anxiety that is driven from then on out. It can cause heart attack. It can cause stroke. It can cause seizures. It can cause tremors where you shake uncontrollably. It can cause social problems. You avoid certain situations. I cannot stand I-77. That's where it happened the first time. The Ripley exit 139. Can't stand it. Every time I go through there, I think, what if it happens again? And that's something I need to get over. I'm not in control. If it happens again, the Lord is allowing it to happen again. The Lord is still there. The Lord is still on His throne. And that is something that He will allow if He chooses to allow it. He controls every heartbeat. He controls every breath. He controls the amount of blood that flows through your brain. And if it stops, it's because He wants it to stop. There's not something there that you need to worry about. Don't worry like you've lost control, because you've never had control, because God's always been in control. Amen. You'll avoid certain people. Have you ever been anxious about people that have made you mad or people that have upset you? And you go in the church and you see them and you go in the side door, go out the front, go around, go in the back, sit in the balcony, during the singing, leave, get in your car. Park on the other end so you don't meet them. Anxiety about meeting different people. It may cause you never to leave your house. We're going to read the testimony of a football player later on in the sermon who would never leave his home, which I've done that. I hated leaving the home because you felt safe there, like you couldn't die at home. Like there was something about my house that was keeping me alive. It could bring you away from social events. People asked me to go somewhere on a specific night here, and I didn't go. Because I was seeing spots and I was afraid that something would happen. It's almost like someone is turning flashlights on and off. And you see that and it scares you. And that was one of the effects of my anxiety and my migraines. Mental problems like depression. It can go so extreme that you'll have to go in and take medicine for it. I used to never believe in that. I used to always think that this was absent in people's lives until it happened to me and this was present. I'm having anxiety attacks, and I minister the Word of God. I teach a class. I study the Word daily. And I'm having anxiety attacks, and I'm fearing that the Lord is not there. How in the world does that happen? One, the enemy. One, Satan is, of course, doing that to you. Doubt, just like Simon Peter doubted. You need to rely on this, yes. But people can get so bad off that they get stuck up on pills and pills and pills. We're going to talk about that later. And they get so depressed that they just want to die because of anxiety. And it can actually turn into something called general anxiety disorder, where you can't function you can't do anything because you have an obsessive, unrealistic fear of everything. And 9 times out of 10, the fear doesn't even exist. And it's just something that's in your mind. You're afraid of something that hasn't even happened yet. Now, fear, worry, and anxiety are emotions that were given to us by God and were created by God. And they serve good purposes. Satan has to use the good emotions that God has created and turn them in to something bad. If you've ever read C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters, one of the strategies, that's a hard thing to say, one of the strategies, am I even saying it right? Strategies. One of the, I'm going to cut that from the tape. One of the strategies that Uncle Screwtape uses, they mention that the demons have never been able to create a new emotion to cause man to sin. We have to take the good emotions that God has created, which they refer to as the enemies, and use them against them to sin. Pleasure, sexual pleasure, is a good thing that God has created, but Satan uses it and turns it into something that it's not, and it becomes sin. Fear is a good emotion. Fear keeps you from jumping off buildings, from jumping in front of cars, from taking poison. Fear keeps you from doing things that will kill you. Fear is a necessary emotion that keeps us alive. But Satan can turn fear into something that will kill you and destroy you spiritually. And it worked good with me. Worked good with me. And I thought I was doing pretty good strength-wise, too. Worked very good with me. And almost destroyed me. Something good turned into something bad. Something created by God that was turned into something bad. Now, we started playing this anxiety game. I've been playing this anxiety game, and I call it that because a game is something that you make choices in, and a game is something that you can beat, and a game is something that you can choose to turn off. And I've chose to do those things and can and have proven that I can. I've been given depression medicine. I've been given anxiety medicine, pain medicine, brain medicine. I've been given migraine medicine, and I've been given a goodie bag full of medicine with 30 different pills in it to conquer the different things that I've been given. I'm alarmed at how fast doctors are willing to just scribble some stuff on a pad and give it to you to get you out of that doctor's office. And it never worked until I found Philippians 4. Always been there, been through the class with the dean, had notes on it from 5 different sermons, never clicked. I had to see Philippians 4, and the Holy Spirit had to reveal to me to be anxious for nothing before I realized. I almost brought him with me because I can lay him out from here all the way to the other end of the table, the pills I have. Thank God for insurance. Or I'd be, the hospital bills are one thing, but thank God I at least didn't have to pay for the pills they gave me. Now, real-life examples of the anxiety game that takes so many forms. One form is the distraction game. The main thing is the enemy wants to get your distraction or get you distracted off God and wants you looking at your problem. And I want to show you that. Real-life example. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 10. We need to start moving. I've been sitting on one page of notes for way too long. It's a common story. We know the story of Martha and Mary. And it's a good example of anxiety. How many of you guys have ever been invited to someone else's house? If you haven't, I'm sorry. Me and Emily were invited to the McFarland's house. They're not here. This is kind of funny, so I can talk about them. Me and Emily were invited to the McFarland's house. We were going to babysit their kids. They wanted us to come over, see the house, see how to babysit the kids. They wanted to feed us, fellowship. We were going to go home. And Jay was just sitting there. He wasn't doing anything. He was talking, eating, drinking coffee. Wasn't contributing to the event. Just talking, jibber-jabbering away. And Kim was doing everything. She was cooking. She was making sure the cups were full. And no doubt her anxiety level was building and building and building until eventually from the back of the kitchen you hear, "Jay, honey, can you come in here and help me?" And she, you know, needed Jay to go in there and help. And you could see that example. And this is exactly what happens here with Martha and Mary. Notice verse 38 of chapter 10. You can imagine how nervous this company would be Mary and Martha in verse 38. Now, as they went their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his word. But Martha was distracted. That's where the name comes, the distraction game. Jesus was teaching in the other room. Jesus was in the other room. What was Mary doing, or what was Martha doing? Martha was making sure the cups were full, the bread baskets were full, making sure that the decor was right, the table was laid out just right, making sure the house was perfect. No doubt she went to Mary and said, Jesus Christ is coming to our house. We need to make sure that everything is perfect. She wanted to impress him with the way the house was laid out and make sure that everything was perfect. Just think of the anxiety of that, having Jesus at your home, you're entertaining the Son of God. What do you do? What do you do? And she had anxiety. She was distracted. She was distracted with what she needed to be doing. Notice that in verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Just like Kim. Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. And notice what Jesus says, verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. What was more important in that situation? The cups, the bread, the table, the dining room, the cleanliness of the kitchen? The layout of the house. Did it mention what kind of house she had? How much she paid for it? What section of town she lived in? It didn't mention any of that. Did it mention how hard Martha worked? How stressed out she was trying to make everything perfect? It didn't mention any of that. It mentioned the fact that she was ignoring Christ in the other room, trying to do things that were less important. She was full of anxiety, and the anxiety caused her to start playing the distraction game. And she turned away from what she needed to be doing. This morning, I'm glad you show your hands. Did any of you get aggravated coming here? Okay. It's snowing outside. Probably did. What's more important? Being here and hearing God's word, or having a perfectly ironed tie? Think about it. What's more important? Getting your suit and clothes ironed and looking perfection, or wearing jeans with a hole in them and showing up and hearing God's word with a clear, unaggravated mind? You can show up and be aggravated and your whole church service can be ruined and you can look perfect. Or you could show up and look like a hobo and have your mind ready to learn and get more out of the church service. Amen. What's better? Amen. What's better? The distraction game. Satan has used clothes to get Christians more distracted off God on Sundays than anything else. There's an old joke that Dad told me that a man walked into church. This is a good one. He's getting nervous, too. A man walked into church, and he wasn't wearing a tie. And the man... the preacher walked up and said, you cannot come in here without a tie on. We are a church that prides ourselves on how we look. And a lot of times you'll notice that. You go in and everybody has to wear, you have to put on your church clothes. And everybody has anxiety about their church clothes. And it made the guy mad, and he went out and he put his jumper cables around his neck and walked back in. And the guy said, you can come back in now, just don't start anything. Case in point is, though, I'm hoping that if I do that, you'll remember. What's more important, being anxious about what happens before church, after church, worrying about what goes on here, or worshiping God? I would get so much anxiety over running sound, directing choir, preparing lessons, making sure everybody in the church was happy, getting temperatures set, that I hated being here. Seriously. I don't know how many people there are here. We all have sound preferences. We all have temperature preferences. Everybody has a preference on how I do the radio broadcast. Everybody has a preference on how I do the CD, the thing, whenever I used to do that before we gave it to Tim. Everybody has things that form anxiety in you. And you can get so distracted, and Satan can pull your mind off Christ, and you lose what you came to do. Martha lost what she needed to do. Martha needed to focus on the teaching of Christ, not the glasses and the bread. She needed to focus on Christ. Have you ever done it? I did it just almost did it this morning, trying to get the ice off the car. And then thought, I'm preaching on this morning. How in the world am I going to sit here and do this? Because I got snow all down me, and then I got snow down the front of my jacket, and then it melted as soon as it hit the heat of my shirt. But anxiety and worry and stress can kill you if you let it. You just cannot let it happen. Now, Matthew chapter 19. I'd like to mention another part of the distraction game, and then we'll really start treading away. Thus far, we're talking about the game of anxiety, how anxiety can cause you to play the distraction game, and the distraction game can oftentimes turn into the gain game, where you focus so much on the gain of this world that your anxiety chokes you out. Matthew chapter 19, notice verse 16. Behold, a man came up to him saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Notice he says, what good deed? This boy wanted to be saved by upholding the law. Okay? And if you're going to be saved by upholding the law, you have to uphold the law in every point. That's why Jesus answers him like this. Don't think that Jesus is trying to teach salvation through the law here. This man wanted to be saved by the law. Jesus answers the question. Verse 17, and he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. And if you would enter life, keep the commandments. Verse 18, he said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Those on all these commandments that this boy needed to do. And the young man, no doubt with pride, which is a sin, in verse 20, the young man said to him, All these I've kept. What do I lack? Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And notice what he did. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Distracted from God, onto his possessions, and he was playing the game. And it choked him out. Martha was distracted with the labors of her house. Oftentimes we are distracted with what we wear. Oftentimes we're also distracted with where we work. And the anxiety of our jobs stamp us away from here. Think back how many times your job has caused you to miss here in the past year. Think back if you had a job before then that you could be here all the time. And if you really needed the money. And if you'd be happier if you were closer to God. Some people sacrifice this place, this church, this assembly, for a job so that they can provide more for their families, so they can get that bigger house, so they can get that nicer Mercedes, so they can get that nicer this. They need to put their kids through that better college, and they sacrifice God as a result. You can feel their anxiety go up, and all they're doing is playing the game, and they're choked. Remember the story of the sower? What happened to the one that was choked out in the thorns? What did it say? It said, the cares of the world choked them out. And it made the word of God of none effect. Just choked it right out so that it was useless to them. The cares of this world choked them out. The game. The anxiety of this life, the stress of this life, the troubles of this life, the cares of this life choke you out as you play a game. On a monthly basis, I get an email from one of my ex-coworkers giving me college advice about how much money I need to be making and how I'm not making enough money and how I'm never going to be this, that, or the other with the money I'm making now. Our school systems constantly tell our kids that if they're not making three figures a year, they're failures. One of the things that was constantly announced, I took classes. If you get out of this class and you're not making this, you've messed up. This whole world is constantly focused on money and finance and getting more and getting more. And you're pumped so full with covetousness, and it stresses you out. I don't know about you guys in college in the back or any of you guys that have went through it here in the front. But man, searching for a job, thinking about starting a family, worrying about getting the proper training, worrying about getting a job that provides enough for your family, worrying about getting enough worldly possessions is absolutely a stress attack. Worrying about getting enough education and everything, worrying about keeping your job, worrying about starting all of these different things that you need to start on your own is anxiety. But we have to rely on God.
Amen.
We must rely on God. And that's another thing I've had to fight. I'd like to start a family pretty soon. I'm engaged now. That's really weird. I would like to start a family. You have to think about starting, getting enough money, getting a place to live. How are you going to afford all the cars and the insurance and kids and this, that, and the other? You have to rely on God. That's how you do it. Now, those are two worldly games that we play. I dabble in those games a lot. But for the most part, I try to rely on God as best I can. Money is not something that I care about. These guys, they hate me because I just say I don't care about money. It's something that doesn't bother me. Now, the health stuff, on the other hand, I have been playing the fear game. The fear game. There's a man, Earl Campbell. He's a Texas All-American Heisman Trophy winner, NFL rushing champion. He's 5'11", 232 pounds. Linebacker for the Houston Oilers, team that doesn't exist anymore. Big guy. Supposedly had 40-inch thighs, is what Dad told me. Could carry 350-pound lineman across the end zone. Big man. Some people like him in the front. Yes. The fear game. The distraction game can take many forms, pulling your focus off God. The distraction game can turn into the fear game whenever you feel like you've lost control. Now, what happened to this fella? This is his biography. About 3 or 4 years after I left football, this is him, I was on my way home to Houston. It was about Friday afternoon, June of 1988. I was 4 years old. Just another Friday, waiting at a stoplight in this little town called LaGrange, Texas. Out of the blue, my heart started racing. I felt my chest, and then I broke into a cold sweat. I began hyperventilating and became convinced I was having a heart attack. Campbell's first memory was that his father died of a heart attack. Excuse me. His first memory was that his father died of a heart attack when Earl was in the fifth grade. And now Earl's son was getting close to the fifth grade. That night he ended up in the emergency room and in the hospital for a week when he began to understand panic disorder. In fact, most people... Oh, wait a minute. That night he ended up in the emergency room and in the hospital for a week. When he began to understand panic disorder. In fact, most people with panic disorders say the same two things. I felt as though I was losing my mind, and I thought I had a heart attack. I've been to the hospital twice for heart attack. Once for losing my mind. Because I thought that I was dying of a heart attack. Earl was convinced he wasn't going to be around to see his boys grow up to be men, nor would he be able to enjoy all he had accomplished. The good-hearted big man was puzzled about why this should be happening to him when he hadn't done anything negative to anybody, instead accomplishing many positive things for himself. I just basically stayed inside. I lived behind the sunshades. I stayed on the phone a lot, calling people, especially my mom. He just lived inside, stayed on the phone. That guy had a panic disorder. Of fear. You wouldn't think it, but he did. Now he goes around throughout the nation talking to people about his panic disorder and explaining to people that this overwhelming fear of death isn't something to be ashamed of. It's something that's real. It's something that does happen to people. And it's something that you can overcome. It's something that I've been through now. Lord willing, soon we will have anxiety.ghtg.org. And this message will be on it. His resources will be on it. And we're going to build a huge website about it so that hopefully I can hit the world with it and get people to constantly hit that, people to go in, and other people that are having this problem can write in, send how they feel, and just collect more and more and more people from all across the globe that have this same problem so that we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord and build each other up in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. That's the only solution. That's the only way that we can save ourselves from this, is to rejoice in the Lord. There was a man who preached a revival. I did it again, the glasses thing. There was a man who preached a revival at Buffalo not too long ago, and he had an overwhelming fear of death. He saw a friend that was near his age in a casket at a funeral, and it wore him out. And he thought, what if I die? What if I die? What if I die? What if I, what if, da, 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 da. You go down that game, and it turns into the might game. Tomorrow, I might die. Tomorrow, this might happen. My heart might go out. The might game can turn into the what if game. I'll sit there at home. I'll feel my heart to make sure it's still beating. Isn't that goofy? Like I wouldn't know if it stopped. Like if it stopped, I'd keep on going. Make sure it's still beating. Check the pressure in my neck. Rub the back of my head. Think about it even worse. Feel the pain. Start shaking. Break out into sweats. Panic. Run in. Wake mama. Mom, I'm dying. Go to the hospital. Get to the hospital. Once you're there, you completely relax because you're in a hospital. You think, they can take care of me. I'm in a hospital. It's okay now. And then you completely relax. They give you a pack of nerve pills and send you home. Anxiety disorder. Anxiety, panic attack. Overwhelming fear of death. I was afraid to do anything because I was afraid to die doing it. Afraid to drive because I was afraid to die doing it. Afraid to go to work because I have the only office in the basement and I'm alone. My job is a travel job. I'm afraid to travel alone. Go down the turnpike, my cell phone doesn't work. I'm afraid I couldn't get a hold of anybody. All the interstates, I have West Virginia Wireless. My cell phone doesn't work on any of them. Afraid of being alone. I'd lay in bed all day, every day, until mom and dad came home. And then I could get up and do stuff. And then go back to bed when they went to bed. And then lay in bed all day. I'd get my computer and drag it over to the bed. And then log on to work and work from there. But I couldn't get out of bed. Because I was afraid that if I do something might snap and I might be paralyzed for life. Afraid to take showers because the plug in the drain was messed up and it would fill up with water. And I was afraid of falling and drowning. So I would take a shower with my head sticking in and then with my body sticking out. Like if it was the Lord's, like if that would help me. If the Lord wanted me to die that day, like that would keep me from dying. Seriously. The thoughts that you have when you are on an anxiety attack are almost crazy. And I had to get over that. Now, I want to show you how to get over that real briefly. I'm not going to hold you real long. How to beat the game. How to beat the game. That's what's important. I've given you the examples. I've given you all the examples I could think of. I've told you my testimony, Earl's testimony, and the man at Buffalo. Overwhelming fear of death. How can you comfort yourself? I can tell you the pills will not work. They will not work. They'll only make you feel worse. One thing you need to do is to move off the distractions. Matthew 14, you remember the story. Jesus walks out on the water. Simon Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Peter steps out on the water and starts walking towards Christ. What happened to cause Peter to sink? Looked away. What did he do? He saw a distraction. He saw the wind. He saw the waves. And as soon as he pulled his focus off God, Jesus standing right there, he sank. You wouldn't think he'd be able to play the distraction game with Christ right there, but he did. And he could. The holiest of men can fall prey to an anxiety disorder. Not saying that I'm pridefully lifting myself up as the holiest of men. I'm talking about Peter. The man at Buffalo had to give up his church and step away from it because he couldn't preach anymore because of his anxiety disorder. You have to move your focus back on Christ. Look at all the things that Simon Peter was conquering. To walk on, or to make something float, you have to, is it called the laws of buoyancy? It has to be able to displace a certain amount of water made out of certain materials so that it can float. Gravity, which would pull you down through it. Look at all the laws that Peter had broke by stepping out and walking on water. God had created every single one of those things. Meaning God could control every single one of those things. And Simon Peter was with the Lord, and the Lord was walking with him and guiding him every step of the way. And as soon as he stopped looking at Christ and was distracted, he sank. Even though he sank, what happened? The Lord still saved him. No matter what happens to me, even though I have sank many a times, the Lord will always be there to save me, no matter what happens. That's comfort. Put your focus back on Christ. Look and live. If I die here right now, I know that Jesus will be there to save me.
Amen.
Whether I'm here, whether I'm in a hospital coming back into this life, or whether I'm at the gates of heaven walking in, walking up to God the Father and saying, I'm whole. I know I'm there. I know that I am safe. I know that Jesus is with me. That's a comfort. That's a comfort that I've forgotten. And that helps me to solve my anxiety attacks. I haven't had an attack since these passages. A bad one. I've had fear. I can feel them coming on. But as soon as I do, just relax. The Lord is with me. Bring it on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Put your focus back on Christ. Psalms 55:19 says, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. The problem is Jeff was trying to sustain himself and he fell every time. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The only way we can survive is if we concentrate in the Lord, not on self.
Amen.
Earnest, humble, thankful prayer. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, the passage we started in verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. That's just like a speed limit sign. Don't break the law. How do you not break the law? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, which carries the idea of earnestly and humbly praying, with prayer and earnestly and humbly praying, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Lord, I'm thankful for the trial. Lord, I'm praying about this every day, because if I don't pray about this, I'll go nuts. And I will. If I don't pray about this, I'll go nuts. But also, Lord, work your will, and I'm thankful whatever the outcome is, no matter what it is. I was worried about having a stroke of some kind and being paralyzed. That was my number one fear because I couldn't function. If it is, and if it's the Lord's will, Lord has promised that all things happen for the good, and my life will be better, and my life will work for God, even if I'm paralyzed. I can still serve God paralyzed. I can serve God any way I can. And my God will only do to me what He sees fit. Why worry? Why worry? I'm going to read you one passage here. We get over it by putting our focus back on God. We get over it through prayer. And we get over it this way. Passage, if you are writing things down, is in Luke 12, 22 through 32. We get over it this way. You have to realize that anxiety, fear, panic, scariness, nervousness, all of those things serve absolutely no purpose. None. Notice this passage. Verse 22 of Luke chapter 12 says, "And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body," which was me, "what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They never sow, nor do they reap. They have neither a storehouse nor a barn, and yet God feeds them." Birds always have food. Birds have food. That's a fact. Birds have survived. Write that down. Birds have survived. "How much more value are you than the birds?" Verse 24, Luke 10. How much more value? "And which one of you, by being anxious, could add a single hour to his span of life?"
Amen.
Which one of you can add a single hour to his span of life by being anxious? All of my panic in the past month, what did that serve? It made me miserable. It distanced me from God. Made me weaker as a Christian. Made me more vulnerable to Satan. Weakened my relationship with friends, family, girlfriend, and God, and my church, and my strength. Ruined my health. Other than that, it did not help me in any way, shape, or form. It did not add one single speck to my life. If you were not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Why are you so worried? Like you were ever in control. People get worried and scared like they've lost control, but we don't realize that we never had it. God has always been in control. We never were in control. It is His sovereign grace that keeps every single one of us alive right now. And if He wills us to die at this very second, we will die, however He sees fit. If you don't want to have a heart attack and He wants you to have a heart attack, you'll have a heart attack. George LeMasters could have had a heart attack and died because of that blockage, but it was not the Lord's will at this time. My panic attacks could have caused a blood vessel in my brain to blow up and I could have been paralyzed. You could have did that. Well, this could have happened. This could have happened. The what-if game. You could have played the what-if game, the might game, the anxiety game, the fear game, every game that you can play. But what purpose does that serve? It doesn't add anything to your life. "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you?" And there is the link back to Peter, back to the beginning, back to me. Oh, you of little faith. That's where it all comes in. Why did Peter sink? Lack of faith. Why am I having panic attacks? My faith fell apart. My faith fell apart. "You do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor are you to be worried. For the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you." Seek God's kingdom. Look to Christ. Strengthen yourself in Him. Don't play the distraction game. Don't play the anxiety game. Instead, beat the game. I've given you the cheat code, so to speak. Beat the game. You don't have to lose. God has promised you that through prayer and supplication, that final verse, verse 7 of Philippians says, "The peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and will guard your mind in Christ Jesus." With anxiety, you get panic, worry, and fear. But with faith in God, you get peace and rest. Amen.